This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. We are broadcasting statewide. We are talking to comedian Zane Lamprey, who is touring Wisconsin at the moment. Well, at the moment, he's walking the Oregon Trail, getting like 90,000 steps or something like that.
But I'm touring. I'm up to 36,000 steps right now. This is fantastic. Lord. I love it.
Do your stretches. You don't want to pull a hammy before a big show in a brewery.
No, if I stretch, I'll break something.
So before we get to your tour, Zane, and your date tomorrow night in Green Bay, tell me a little bit, if you would, how you got started in stand-up. When did you know you could do this?
Well, so I did a show called Three Sheets years ago, where I traveled around the world drinking. I drank in 71 countries. 72 if you count the Vatican. But there I just had a little sip of wine and the cutest little piece of toast.
And so was it a wafer or a host?
That works so much better on stage. I'm not gonna go into any bits. Okay, there we go. Okay, all right. I digress. So I did a show called Three Sheets, traveling around the world drinking. When that ran its course after 4 years, I did a show called Drinking Made Easy for Mark Cuban. And what I had done is after Three Sheets was canceled, I planned to do a stand-up tour. And I had the whole stand-up tour planned across the U.S., 51 cities in 87 days. And then I reached out to Mark Cuban, who I knew was a fan of Three Sheets, and said, hey, do you want to make a domestic version of this show for your network, for HDNet. He had a network called HDNet at the time.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, let's do it. Like, that was literally, yes, let's do it, was his response in an email. And so we did it. So I traveled around doing stand-up and then doing the show. I probably put more eggs into the basket of doing the show than doing the stand-up. But when, you know, so many networks have come and go, I've done so many shows that have gone a season that now I make my priority the stand-up.
Okay.
Stand-up is kind of like, well, I mean, you know this. It's some of it is innate. A lot of it is learned. There are ways of doing things. There's methods and flows to the way that you present information. For me, I'm a storyteller. I tell people about things, situations I've been in, usually situations where I've done something and I'm the idiot in that situation, because to me, that's funny.
Right.
And so, that's what it's been. So I came back hard after COVID, after being like locked up in California for 10 months and, you know, through the pandemic. And on June 3rd, we did our first stand-up show at a brewery. And now we do exclusively shows at breweries. So I've done 406 stand-up shows at breweries since June of 21.
That is really, that's so interesting to me, because I'm like, when I was looking at your website, I'm like, oh, wow, he's doing a show at a brewery here. Oh, he's doing one here too. Oh my God, these are all at breweries. Like, very impressed that you were able to circumvent Shark Tank completely and go right to Mark Cuban to get the okay, which is really cool. But
you know what? It was before Shark Tank.
Oh, no kidding.
And the thing about Mark is, I had my show called Three Sheets. It went off the air. I did a Save Three Sheets rally to try to get another network to pick it up. And so I had about 600 people come to this rally, which was really more of a glorified pub crawl in Los Angeles. And then 2 days later, I did the same thing in New York. And I'm going around New York with about 800 people. I couldn't even see the end of the mob. And the last place we were at was an Irish pub that was 4 stories tall. And I'm at the very top. And my buddy comes running up to me and says, Zane, Mark Cuban's downstairs. He wants to buy the show. And I'm like, buddy, Mark Cuban's not downstairs, but I'll show you that whoever's pretending to be Mark Cuban is not Mark Cuban. Work my way all the way downstairs, and there's Mark Cuban having a beer with some of his friends we brought, and he was on this crawl. I didn't even know it. That's how many people were on it. And he said, I want to buy it, but the network that Three Sheets was on was putting all these shows together. They were lumping 5 shows. You couldn't just buy Three Sheets. You needed to buy 5 other shows, 4 of them, which he didn't want. And so when my contract with them expired, the first person I reached out to was Mark, and he's like, yeah, let's do it. We're good to go. So yeah, I had an in, But he does make his email public. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to get in trouble, but it's pretty easy to find. And if you have something, you know, a quick question, he'll almost always get back. He says he responds to 1,000 emails a day.
Oh, my gosh. So,
I was one of 1,000 emails, but I did get Mark Cuban to write me a check for $1 million. So that's pretty good.
That is really cool. And I'm just looking at IMDb Pro here now. 3 sheets to all these countries. That's a brilliant. Where did you come up with that idea? Just to have drinks in other countries. Where did that?
I was a work for hire. I went into audition for this show called You Should Open a Restaurant. And the premise was you're such an amazing chef that they turn your house into a restaurant for the day. And they bring in. They turn like your house into physically into a restaurant. They bring in a sous chef and waiters and waitresses and a bartender. And I went in and interviewed with these guys and they said, yeah, you're not really what we're looking for. And I was like, oh, okay. They're like, no, you don't understand. The host of this show isn't the host of the show. They're the host in the restaurant. You would just be showing people to their seat. You know, your manager read this wrong.
It's a hosting gig.
And so yeah. It's not. Yeah, exactly. It's a restaurant gig. And so I was like, OK. And I left. And then they ran down the hall after me and said, wait, we got a show called 3 Sheets. Where you travel around the world drinking. Would you want to do that? And I was like, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
and that was it. So, you know, traveling around, I've done over 100 episodes, probably over 150, I guess. And it's pretty cool. You know, I mean, some people see different things. Some people look at it and go, oh, you travel around to get drunk. And some people look at it and say, oh, you learn about drinking through, you know, the culture through hanging out with certain people. So I think people have different sort of optics of what they're seeing in it. For me, I don't really think that I was getting drunk. I mean, sometimes it was a hazard of the job. I was
sure.
I was absolutely having fun, but that show, when 3 Sheets, the network was on, went off the air, it got sold to Fine Living Network, which went off the air, then to Travel Channel, then to Spike, then to Hulu. So it was a popular wow. show that kind of bounced around. And then since then, I've done other ones. But that kind of genre of show, the travel show genre, really because of YouTube, has kind of gone away. So there's always calls to like bring it back and there's always meetings about doing that, whatever. But until then, I'm going to control my own destiny and I'm going to go out and do my stand-up. So I do a tour every year. I do 100, like I said, 130 shows. And then I shoot a special. I take everything that I've done and you know, a very tight hour, and I make it as an Amazon Prime special. So I've recorded 3 specials. And so now I'm out traveling around, and come April, I'll record another one.
And
I don't think it's customary for this business, but I'm very unconventional. So,
well, it's whatever works, man, and whatever you could do to find leg up somehow. And it sounds like you've done that from day one, which is
That's
really
right.
cool. Can people see all of your specials on Prime?
Yeah. So right now, Tender Looks is on Amazon Prime. And then my next one, Ski Patrol, comes out next month.
Okay.
And then at Christmas time, the Medium Club is another. So that's the third one that will come out on Amazon Prime. So, you know, by the end of the year, I'll have 3 specials on Amazon Prime. I'll have my book out and I'll be continuing to tour. So, you know, I still have in this state, I still have like Green Bay is the last one I have. Okay. I've done a bunch. I really do love it here. I don't hate the winter here as much as I love the summer here, if I can qualify that.
No, I totally get that. I love summer and fall who, here, you know.
Who's going to defend? Who's going to defend winter in Wisconsin? I mean, come on, let's be serious.
You'd be surprised. My kids took martial arts for years when we moved here, and there are people that love snowmobiling and ice fishing. They live for it. And I'm like, okay, I got nothing for that. You know, good for you.
Yeah.
So
that is true. That is true. Yeah. That's, you know, I don't know how many days that's the other thing too, right? Like there's not a lot of days that are perfect for those things, but
exactly.
Yeah, I'm down. I guess it's way cooler than here than growing up in Syracuse. You guys got fried cheese curds. I literally just, you know, I rest my case.
Well, you can get them not fried too, which some people, we have this discussion on the show every once in a while.
I don't know why people would do that.
I don't know
why anyone would do that. That's
Zane,
crazy
I am with you.
Right there.
Because they're very squeaky. The ones that aren't deep fried, like squeak in your mouth and give you like that bile taste before you vomit, at least me. but I like my deep fried curds.
Yeah, just bread them and fry them. I love it.
So where do you go with this, Zane? You've had three sheets. You've got your tours. I like the business model kind of you have for your career. Do you have aspirations to act or write stuff, or, you know, do you just hope to keep doing this?
You know, it's so funny because it's, you know, I'm 52 years old. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've had development deals and shows with Comedy Central and Warner Brothers. And, you know, I worked with Merv Griffin. I worked with Mark Cuban. I did shows for MTV, VH1. It becomes a very much of a journeyman kind of a job. There's so many people that manage to just pay the bills by being in the business. And then there's people that can break out and you know, have some financial independence, which I've been lucky enough to have, being able to control my fate, right? So when I'm doing my shows and my stand-up shows, it's probably 50% fans and 50% new people that just, you know, want to see a nationally, you know, recognized comedian who's coming to town. And it's pretty sustainable. You know, I think that people think that life on the road is like rigorous. It's just not that bad. It's just not that bad. I don't have the domestic responsibilities that I have when I'm home. I get to sleep in. I got a gym in my hotel.
Right.
I get to walk around. I do eat healthier than I, you know, now than I did year one. Year one, it was like, we're going to Philly, cheesesteaks. You know what I mean? We're going to Wisconsin. It's fried cheese curds every single day. You know what I mean? Bratwurst, you know, but right. Now it's kind of, you know, I'm more of an even keel about that kind of stuff. And it is writing, you know, I'm always writing, whether again, writing my book, but also writing the material for the stand-up. Every night, you know, I do my presentation, I do my stand-up, my show. And then I gotta sit back and make some changes. I'll go into the doc, you know, my docs or my notes, whatever, and I'll make some tweaks and go, okay, this one could be done tighter here. This one could be done tighter here. And then it turns into something else. I've done movies and they'll come, they'll pop up and that kind of thing. But with those, and I love them. I love doing those kind of things. But whenever you're doing something and you're putting your fate in the hands of other people, it's, you know, things can just crumble. Like I did a show on Food Network and it was great. It was called Half Fork Will Travel. I was traveling around eating, you know, every episode was a different city around the world. And the network executive, the, you know, who came up with it, left. The new person came in and said, I want a clean slate. I only want shows that I've created. So they push it aside. You're just like, man, this is my life, man. You know what I mean? I put a lot into this thing, and now you just kind of push it to the side and I have to figure it out. And so with this, with my stand-up, it lets me be the master of my own destiny more right. So. Although, you know, there's other projects and stuff. The hybrid would be the best. If I had my show and I was doing my stand-up and I was able to do both of those things. And it's not like I necessarily want to do 130 shows a year. That's like a show every 3 days. Or less. But if I can do bigger shows, just focus on the weekend. But for now, this is what it is. And honestly, it's going great. The way that the you know, doing them at breweries is way more of a community experience than if I was going to comedy clubs, which right. I am transitioning into those, because now some of the comedy clubs are reaching out to me about doing it there. But it's fun. I'm having a great time right now. It's like, you know, they say you just, you know, you don't realize that they're the good old days until they're behind you. Like, I know these are the good old days. I'm alive. I'm walking, man. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm walking and I'm laughing. So,
all right. I keep threatening to help you promote this Green Bay gig tomorrow night. We'll do that after an extremely short break here. And then I'm going to ask Zane what he's watching on TV when he's in his hotel room. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. We are in the home stretch here. Very, very healthy Zane Lamprey, who joins us now over the stream. He is out getting his steps in and killing two birds with one stone. And that is what you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, to get ahead in life. Zane, let's talk about your what is bringing you to Green Bay tomorrow.
That's
your
right.
show. Where can people get tickets? What can they expect?
They can expect some hilarious stand-up comedy as they join me at Badger State Brewing in downtown Green Bay. Is it in downtown? Do you know where it is? Have you been there before?
Conrad, do we know Badger?
Yeah, it is. It's downtown. It's kind of close to Lambeau.
Oh, sweet. I don't live in Green Bay. I commute like an hour, but Conrad's the man. He's got his ear to the ground here.
I'm talking to Conrad. I'm moving over. I'm talking to Conrad from now on.
He's a better conversationalist. You get more bang for your buck.
That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting. I'm doing all the talking anyway. That's by design. But yeah, so I'm doing my show there. I have an incredible opener, Nick Jerry. He's actually been with me since day one. So he will also be doing show number 407 there. It's fun. It is a very fun night. There's stories about my misadventures. And if anyone has ever seen my stand-up before, these are all new stories. I always keep it fresh. And you can get tickets at zanelamprey.com.
Nice.
And the show starts at, 8 PM. I think the VIP doors are 7 o'clock. And then the general admission doors are 7:30. I do a very fun, drinking game bit. I'd play three drinking games with the VIP audience before the general admission gets there. That is very, very fun. But the show itself is it's a lot of fun. You're drinking incredible craft beer. That is the constant of every night. And it's just fun. It's easy. It's non-political. It's relatable. And even if you've never seen me before, have no idea who I am, you don't need that as a primer to understand it. We start at the beginning and kind of, you know, talk through everything there.
You know, I would think this would be like a home away from home for you. I don't know if you see these lists that come out every year, Zane, but like out of the 50 most drinking communities in America, Wisconsin has like 46 of them. And sometimes they have to team up three cities and count them as one. I mean, this is a drinking culture here. I would think you'd be an absolute rock star and could probably just make your living in Wisconsin.
I was thinking about it. I get reminded of the facts that you're throwing out there every single night. Some people brag about it.
I'm not bragging about
Someone brings up those same data points, and they are definitely bragging when they do that. And inebriated.
Right.
Yeah, look, I don't know if this is safe. I'm going to go on a limb here and say, like, I love Wisconsin, Minnesota. I love this whole area and the vibe of things. I think more of an identity. Here's the thing. Minnesota, you guys are proud of your beer and your cheese, and they're proud of their lakes. And here's the whole thing. They got 11,000 lakes. I don't know if you know this, but you guys have 15,000.
We have more. Yeah, we do.
You have more. And you guys aren't all like braggadocious about it. You guys are cool.
I know.
You guys are hip about it. You know, like, we didn't even talk about the lakes. We talk about the cheese and the beer.
We can totally take them. That's all I'm saying, Minnesota. Putting it out there.
That's all they got.
Whatever comes to that.
That's all they got is lakes, you know?
Exactly. So who are your influences, Zane, when it comes to comedy and when it comes to drinking?
Oh, man. Comedy influences. You know, it's everybody. It's everybody. I take a little something away from everybody. There's nobody that I like model myself after. I mean, growing up, I was a huge fan of Robin Williams and Eddie Murphy, but it was really any comic that kept my attention. You know what I mean? Any comic that had like the content and the energy to be interesting and to be funny. That's where it was. And now it's like, it's anybody who makes me laugh, you know, and knows how to keep it, you know, short and sweet. And as far as like, you know, drinking, it's so funny. When I had the Food Network show, my show Half Fork Will Travel took the spot of Bourdain's show, which I think was No Reservations.
Oh, wow.
And so there was an immediate animosity from Bourdain to me. And it was pretty heated, not publicly, between the two of us having conversations about it.
Oh,
and then he said, he goes, look, you don't have any place doing food shows. You're not a food guy. You're not a chef. He goes, Three Sheets, one of the best shows ever. I go, whoa. Just start there, man. I don't need the rest of it. Just stop. Right. Three Sheets, one of the best shows ever. Shut up. We're done. Let's get a drink. and literally, that was the conversation. And then we were friends. We were friendly. And when I was doing a show to a new network called Dream TV, there was a show called Four Sheets, which I was doing. A very short-lived show, short-lived network. But I was supposed to go to Cuba to do an episode, and I knew that Bourdain had contacts there. And so I was talking to him about doing the show there and all the contacts, and he was actually going to come meet me. He was going to come and be there for that. And that was the time when he met his met the maker, I
demise.
Guess he said.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So, I don't know if he's necessarily a drinker per se, but, he's one of my idols. So when he kind of started dissing on me, I took it really personally. Just to the point where I was pretty hurt by it, but I'm also, I don't shy away from confrontation, and I'm going to say something. And so we had it out, and quickly was resolved. So again, I don't know. It's so funny. I was thinking about this, the preface in my book. And it's like, who's a drinker? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got paid to drink. Am I the most famous person to get paid to drink? I think
you would be. And I don't I can tell you're not afraid of confrontation. You've already kicked me to the curb in place of Conrad. So
I sure did. Why are you talking?
Hey, we got to run, buddy. This is so fun, Zane. Good luck tomorrow before I lose my show.
Click.
The show is tomorrow night at Badger State Brewery, 8 o'clock. You can get tickets for the very funny Zane Lamprey at ZaneLamprey.com. Buddy, it's great meeting you. Let's do this
you
again
too,
sometime.
Man.
Have a great show tomorrow. 100%. Break a leg.
Let me know when you can come to the show. I'll send you tickets.
Would love it. All right. Be careful walking.
You.
Okay, bud.
You got it. Cheers.
All right. That's Zane Lamprey. I'd like to thank him. I would like to thank Steve Cochran. That was fun to get to know. Two guests, Conrad. Two first-timers tonight. What do you say?
Yeah. It was great.
It was great. And thank you for your texts. We got another great question tomorrow and some great guests. It's all happening again tomorrow night, like we do every night, celebrating the things that bring us together. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Missed exciting entertainment with Pete? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, CivicMedia.us, or wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Just when the song gets good. My guest is Ben Reiser. He is here. Ben works for the Wisconsin Film Festival and helps find the films. Do you actually book the films for UW Cinematheque, Ben, or are you part of a committee? I don't want to misspeak.
I am part
here.
Of that committee.
Okay.
It's mostly Jim Healy and then Mike King and then myself. They throw me three or four films a semester to book, and
sweet.
The rest of the time I'm just busy paying bills and watching movies. Have I talked to you about this before? I'm the only person I know other than the guys I just mentioned whose job it is to sort of sit down and just watch movies and TV all day and night. But I'm on my Facebook feed and all of my friends who have real jobs seem to be able to find time to get in much more movie and TV viewing than I do. They're watching every freaking show that's available on every streaming platform. I'm like, who has time to watch all of these programs? It's crazy.
It makes you think like they're not working when they're at work. Because I agree. I'm kind of like, I don't understand how I could be behind and, whatever. But, so Ben, you said, Billy Squire, Rock Me Tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, they did.
Also, we have Karen, on the text line, Whitesnake, Here I Go Again. Okay. And, Stacy Stu on the stream, watching the radio on Facebook, Peter Gabriel Sledgehammer. That's a great one. Stacy, text in on the text line too, if you want to qualify for the giveaway. We'll read the winner tomorrow night at 7:20 for the, Lake Geneva giveaway, the, Conrad, what is it called?
Wisconsin Chula Dells. Vista.
Chula Vista, yes, of course. Ben, I was laughing because I saw you asked if I wanted to talk about the Olympics tonight. I haven't really been watching, but I will say I saw some very funny Onion a headline. Wait a minute. This one's actually music. There's a guy, you know, they use such great pictures, and it says, hey, I know I haven't posted any. Wait, what is this? Okay. Hey, I know I haven't posted any music for a while. Begins most humiliating social media post of 37-year-old's life. Yeah. That's so great. But yeah. I have not been watching the Olympics. So if it's okay with you, I would like to keep the movie train moving a little bit. Then if you want to give us an Olympic update, I'd love that.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. But you did mention that you had seen you watched Presumed Innocent.
I did. TV, right? Yes. But well, let's finish up Twisters first. So, thumbs okay. up or down on Twister. I will say this, like that love thing, I'm just like I'm so done with that shoehorning a love story into a movie, but I will say I like that there was not a big sex scene because I find that just distracting. And there wasn't even the kiss like that they talked about. I don't even like sex in pornos, Ben. That's how bad I am. I'm just done with it. But I felt like once the flirting started, they backed off enough so it was tolerable. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was bored out of my mind during most of that movie. I can barely remember Deadpool, which I saw yesterday, and I really can't remember Twisters, which I saw a week or so ago. But my friend Scott, who I do a weekly podcast with, Scott Lucas from the band Local H.
Okay.
They've got a couple of great music videos, actually. They've got a song called All the Kids Are Right, and the music video for that is fantastic, Local H. But anyway, Scott saw me the other night and was like, I saw Twisters, and, you know, it's a piece of garbage, but that ending is so great. It's like this great screwball comedy ending. And I was like, what was the ending? What happened at the end of Twisters?
Yeah, I can't even think right now either.
It's him getting sent into the airport to you know,
oh, yeah.
catch up to her.
Right.
Which he just thought was the cutest thing. And I'm like, okay, it just went in one eye and out the other for me. But, but you know, it's fine. I'm not into this whole Glenn Powell. Is that his name?
Yeah. I'm back and forth on him. I liked him.
I was not
in
into that Hitman. Oh, you liked Hitman?
Well, I liked it enough. And I thought he was good. He has kind of a nerdish. He's got a hunky body and kind of a nerdy face. And maybe that's his charm. I don't know. But it worked for me in Hitman. I don't know that I buy him as the big heartthrob, though.
Right.
I don't know.
We're stuck with him.
I'm not the demographic anyway.
Paul Schrader, you know, who has been around the movie business for a while, calls him the new Paul Newman. He wants to see him do like Paul Newman type roles, which I guess I get that. He does have that vibe a little bit, but.
Okay.
A Paul Newman type, he's no Paul Newman, is what I would say.
Yeah. He's likable.
I've seen Paul Newman movies.
Yeah, right. Some big shoes to fill.
Is no Paul Newman.
So you talked about Presumed Innocent. What did you think of that on Apple TV?
I thought it was all right. You know, it seemed obvious. I'd read the book. I'd seen the movie. And so I was sort of happy that David E. Kelly decided to change it up, give us some twists. Ultimately, though, did it really make that big of a difference? And was the payoff that shocking and that it wasn't quite what the book was? Not really. I love the antagonist in that show. I love Peter Sarsgaard. I thought he was great.
He is.
And the guy, I wish I knew his name, the guy who plays his boss, the incoming DA, I loved that guy. Whatever he was doing just cracked me up every time he was on screen.
I saw him in something else recently, too, and they cast that guy in roles that make you want to punch him. And it's the way he talks. It's this unbelievably condescending, but he's great at it, you know.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but I saw the movie, and I think I even read the book, and I still couldn't remember who did it. Like, without spoilers, is it the same person?
Different.
Oh,
no.
It is different. Okay, I thought so.
Yeah.
All right. I liked it, too. I thought it was really well done. And I mean, some heavy hitters, J.J. Abrams, David Kelly. But I thought it was really well done. Yeah, I liked it.
David E. Kelly's been writing those courtroom dramas ever since L.A. Law. And I feel like when Presumed Innocent was written and was this big hit, I could just picture David E. Kelly going, "Ooh, why didn't I think of that? That's right up my milieu." And he's been waiting all these decades to like get his chance to sort of put his fingerprints on that story. So
yeah,
he did. And I heard they're coming up with a season two for it too. So, okay. God bless.
So who's he going to, I almost did a spoiler there, so I won't. It would be fun if there was like a serial killer thing and they just kept covering it up. But I got to ask you something. Okay. This movie Thelma was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, read the long line, loved it. I thought, oh, this sounds great. I absolutely love this. I don't know if I've ever been more bored. I just couldn't get into it. Am I wrong? Did I miss something?
I don't think you're wrong. I think that there's some nice things on the edges, if that makes sense,
sure,
of that movie. The performances, I kind of like that grandson.
I liked him too.
But I also thought this movie should be 20 minutes shorter. And as much as I like the grandson, we don't need to know anything about him and his fiance or whatever girlfriend, and the stuff with his parents. Like, I don't need any of that. Just stick to Thelma. And,
Richard Roundtree.
Who was fantastic.
Right.
You know, and I also thought that once Malcolm McDowell shows up, it's really kind of like, what? This is what we were heading towards?
Right.
Here's the thing. I saw it one afternoon in a theater full of senior citizens. And, man, did they love this movie. And I got such sort of a contact high sitting amidst all these people who brought their own wheelchairs and their own, like, mobility carts. And they were loving every second. They were talking back to the screen, talking to each other. They never had a better time. Wow. And I was like, it's nice that there's a movie that's appealing to this demographic in such a big way. So, wasn't for me, but I dug the fact that it was for somebody who doesn't, you know, people who probably aren't normally catered to.
I get that, and I totally agree about I liked the grandson, but yeah, he could have been on screen 15 minutes less. And the parents, too. You're right. The parents were just kind of like, it was like the guy was in love with his writing or a family writing a family dynamic, but you didn't need it. The interesting parts were Thelma and Richard Roundtree.
And what killed it for me is something that keeps killing movies for me this year, which is that whatever they decide to do over the end credits, in this case, is that they're showing you video of the real life Thelma.
Oh,
you know, who's half as charismatic as what's her name? And it's like, I don't need to see that. Right. I don't need to see home video of where you base this character off of. That's private stuff for yourself. That's great for you. You came up with a script because your grandma was wild like this. Yeah. We don't need to see that. Like, I don't need to see at the end of Furiosa, I don't need to see a bunch of scenes from Fury Road.
Right.
Like, I saw that movie 10 times. I don't need to see like a sort of bad pixelated version of the scenes from that movie.
Yeah.
There was another movie recently.
We talked about that last time you were on. It's like, let's show the movie that should have been the second movie because this one can't follow that, you know? Yeah. That was weird. Right. Long Legs. I just saw it last weekend. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you a little backstory. I don't remember what year it was, maybe 2017, 2018. We showed this guy, Oz Perkins, who's Anthony Perkins' son, director and writer of Long Legs. He's made two or three other movies. We showed his first movie called The Black Coat's Daughter. We showed it at the festival. Whatever year it came out, and I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even realize it was a horror movie, but I was slotted to introduce it. So I introduced it at 4070 Vilas Hall, home of Cinematheque.
Yeah.
And I sat down in the front row and we had it playing really loud. It was a packed theater and it scared the heck out of me. I love this movie, The Black Coat's Daughter. And then he's made a couple movies since then, which I thought were like, not so great, but okay. And then this one, I was not looking forward to because Nicolas Cage is very hit or miss.
Yeah.
And I'd heard things about like, oh, the movie's good, but then Nicolas Cage shows up and ruins the whole thing. And so I was kind of nervous about that. But I have to say, I kind of dug it. I mean, I don't think it's as good as that first one. And in a way, it's kind of a weird, not a remake, but mine's very similar territory to that first movie he made. I like that they're billing it as a serial killer movie, but that's not really what it is. It's much more of a, is it a spoiler?
Paranormal,
to say,
maybe, or yeah,
like a demonic possession.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, it's really that thing. And I thought it was good. I thought it was kind of creepy. I like that Micah Monroe, and I thought Nicolas Cage was pretty good for Nicolas Cage. I mean, I thought it was, I wouldn't say restrained, but he was in character, I thought.
But he could have, they could have like not credited him. I would have known that was him.
You know what
I
mean?
That would have been interesting.
That's true.
But no, I liked it. I didn't love it. I went to see that. No. A bunch of people from our neighborhood, a couple other dads and kids went to see Deadpool. And I haven't seen any of the Deadpool. So I said, you know, I don't mean to be a party pooper. I'm going to see Long Legs. I've been, you know, reading the reviews and the box office and all that. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't love it, but I liked it. You know what? It had an A24 kind of feel to it, like Maxine kind of had. Sure. And I liked Maxine, I think, better than the. I don't know why I'm comparing
it. Oh, you did?
Two, but,
oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you and I disagree about that.
Okay. Finally.
You know what?
Yeah.
I love, speaking of David E. Kelly, Blair Underwood from L.A. Law is in Long Legs. And the one thing I really wish, I do think that the third act of Long Legs is where it kind of falls apart. I really wish Blair Underwood got a chance to go really crazy at the end of the movie, as opposed to sort of the kind of crazy that he does. But
I will say I like the look, that told us, oh, it's in him now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was really creepy, but I agree. They could have escalated it a little bit. What that movie you just said was called The Black Coat's Daughter, correct?
The Black Coat's Daughter. Okay. I would see that one. If you like Long Legs, this is a better version. Not a version of it, but similar. I did see another horror movie that's in theaters that I liked a lot called Oddity. Have you heard of this?
Oh, no, I haven't seen it. I've heard of it. I haven't seen it yet, though.
It's good. Good. It's an Irish director. I think it takes place in England. It's very good.
Interesting. Okay. Let me ask you about... The Boys, Ben. Have you watched The Boys?
I've watched the first two seasons, but that's another one of these. There's two things about The Boys for me. One, it's kind of that same thing I was talking about, where it's like people making a superhero show are also sort of trying to do a parody of a superhero show.
Right.
I also find it to be nasty and unpleasant in a way that bothers me.
Right.
And I feel like that's a thing with Amazon. Like, I feel like that's a trademark of these Amazon produced shows, that they really are kind of nasty. Like, there was that show Fallout this past year, which liked a lot. I think I like it better than The Boys, but there's a couple episodes that are just sort of mean spirited. And The Boys is really mean spirited, I find.
Right. Let's pick it up there. Ben Reiser's here. And we're talking movies and TV like we do. This is Nightlight with Peach Wobble. We'll be right back with more fun showbiz talk on the Civic Media Radio Network. How are we? Pouring rain outside. Or as they say, when I worked in a factory between my sophomore and junior year in college, and the guys would always look up in the sky and go, yeah, looks like it's going to piss. They couldn't say rain. It wasn't tough enough. But it is coming down. Ben Reiser is here, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about movies, and we have a couple more entries into our contest here. Conrad, what's that last text?
It's just a name for the number.
Oh, okay. All right. I still don't understand, but I'll move on. This is Kevin from Green Bay says, November rain, Guns N' Roses. Congratulations, Kevin. You are in the running for the Wisconsin Dells giveaway. 920 says Thriller by Michael Jackson. We got two votes for Thriller by Michael Jackson, which makes it three total. Hard to argue with that one. That was a pretty elaborate video. And that was from Tammy from Oshkosh. And then Joe from Oshkosh. I don't know if they're a couple and Thriller is their thing. Maybe that's what brought them together. I don't know, but thank you guys for playing. And,
here's the thing,
luck.
Though.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, it's not November rain. It's November piss.
That's right. It pisses a lot in November. It's pissing right now. Oh, what's happening? So, Ben,
are you allowed to say that on Civic Media?
Know. We got the nightlight. We got the nighttime. Conrad, we can say that, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm holding you fully responsible.
Connor, do you have the list of all the words we can say?
He's got all the, he's got the Carlin words. He's got all the words he doesn't like. We can't, Conrad gets squeamish if I use the word nookie, Ben. That's what I'm dealing with here. So,
yeah, well, I'm not a Fred Durst fan.
So what do you guys have? First of all, let's talk about Cinematheque, because it's one of the coolest things. Mm-hmm. It's free. And for people that live in Madison or in the surrounding areas, you guys show restored classics, really cool stuff. What do you have coming up?
We've got, I'm looking, I can't, we're announcing our fall schedule on August 8th. It'll be at our website, which is cinema.wisc.edu. And like you say, everything is free and open to the public. We have 170 seat theater that we show these movies at. We've got the best projectors in town, the best sound in town. We make sure we have the absolute best print, whether it's an original 35 millimeter print or a new restored DCP presentation, whatever the best thing we can get for these movies, that's what we get. And I'll tell you one thing. I'll give you two little sneak previews.
Okay.
In September of this year, there's actually a Friday the 13th. And oh, so nice. In honor of that, we're going to show Friday the 13th 3, and we're going to show it in 3D, which is what it originally was released as. So,
okay.
And this is a brand new DCP digital restoration of the 3D. You know, the one thing that I can really say is better digitally than it was on 35 millimeter is 3D. Because when you used to show movies in 3D on film, you needed two projectors. They had to both point at the screen and both be synced up at exactly the right thing, or else it would give you a headache. It would be out of sync, and it was really dark. It was hard to see stuff. All that stuff is gone now with digital. It's just boom. The DCP itself, the file splits the image, and we have these fancy glasses that put them back together in 3D, and it's beautiful.
Oh, that's fantastic.
If you're a fan of Friday the 13th and you've never seen Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D, now is your opportunity, or September 13th is your opportunity.
Where does that rank? Like, obviously, you guys are showing it. Part of the charm is the 3D, but where does that rank in terms of all of those movies? Because I get confused. I just kind of give up when there's like 10 movies in a series. I've probably seen two of those, you know?
Yeah, I would say that much like Halloween, or even more than Halloween, Friday the 13th is kind of a garbage franchise, if you ask me. I'd rather watch all the Fast and Furious movies than Friday the 13th.
Because those got good, right? Some of those became better than the originals, so I'm told. I have to catch up on those, too. Okay.
Right, Friday the 13th, the first one isn't any good, and it never really got much better than that first one. Tom Savini, you know, is a famous makeup and gore special effects guy. He was involved with those first two or three. Maybe he still was working on Friday the 13th Part. I remember seeing Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D when it came out in the theater, and I had an okay time. It's going to be great. It'll be a lot of fun.
But 3D is cool,
Here's one of the movies I got to pick for this semester. Now, everyone knows, well, not everyone, but of our generation, you remember when we were kids? Well, you're a little older than me, I hope, I think, maybe.
I don't know about that.
Maybe you're younger than me. Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty.
Oh, yeah.
Julie Christie, right? Wasn't that like the
great movie?
Great movie of your childhood. Like, oh, this is such a great movie. I could see it a million times. Well, it's actually a remake of a movie called Here Comes Mr. Jordan, 1941. And we are showing a restored print of Here Comes Mr. Jordan, which I hadn't seen until a couple of years ago. If I had, I didn't really remember it. Oh, my gosh. It's just as good, maybe even better than Heaven Can Wait. So funny.
Because of James Mason, too, though. Like, I think he was so great in that movie.
In Heaven Can Wait, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. But Here Comes Mr. Jordan, who played the...
Claude Rains, who's also fantastic.
Movies mixed up. Okay, Claude Rains.
No, that's all right. Claude Rains. And Robert Montgomery is the star. He's got the Warren Beatty role. He's hilarious. There's these great old character actors in it, Edward Everett Horton and this guy named James Gleason. They make me laugh through the whole movie. It's so good.
Oh, wow. That's great. I like the, I love Buck Henry. And the moment, the comedy in Heaven Can Wait. And I did see Here Comes Mr. Jordan ages ago, but I remember Heaven Can Wait. Buck Henry probably just arguing in the closet, hold up on the bodies. I can't believe you're asking me to do this. Like, it's just, it's this. But it was great. Yeah, Julie Christie's great. Yeah. Warren Beatty, loved Charles Grodin in everything. In fact, absolutely. I just watched, I was needed some comfort, and I watched Seems Like Old Times because I love Charles Grodin so much in that movie.
Yeah, hope to see you soon,
Pete. All right, you got it. Thanks. That's Ben Reiser. Check out UW Cinematheque. Just a really cool theater. If you've never been there, it smells like the movies. It's old school. It's a really cool experience. Check it out. Peach Wabba Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.